It's almost like they couldn't wait to get the markets open last night. Corn and soybean futures gapped higher and are building on those overnight gains this morning. The markets are off and running, and so is the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Scouts are out in South Dakota and Ohio right now.
Live from a Crop Tour Sunrise via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Then we have Tour Scouts Jay Merriman and Marty Tegmeyer. And in the final segment, Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association. Right after the news, Michael Clark from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Davis Michelson, how are you this morning?
Really good. It's a little loud in here.
Okay. What's going on?
I don't know if you can hear. The AgriTalk men of song are warming up.
Okay.
It's a very big week for them. They're very excited. Guys, have you got something for us?
Crop tour.
Thanks, fellas. Chip, it's Crop Tour.
Outstanding.
It's finally
work,
here,
fellas.
Baby.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's finally here. They are out in the field. And, you know, when I was talking about Scott there, I think I was thinking about the old farm dog.
Oh, yes. You know, yes, the old farm dog.
Yeah, Scott, yes. The old farm dog. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
he's not around. He's pretty busy this time of
well,
year.
Well, they took him to another farm is what they told me.
Uh-huh.
So,
uh-huh.
He'll be okay. He'll be okay.
We had a nice day of Frisbee.
Yes.
Gave him a hamburger and took him to a farm.
Every year on his birthday, he sends me a message. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful day out there it is for the scouts on Crop mm-hmm. Tour, Davis. It's fantastic.
Gorgeous.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be keeping up with the guys. A little different format for the show this week. Okay?
Yeah.
We're going to continue to bring the newsmakers in on the morning show, but we're also going to check in with Crop Tour as the week goes on. And then in the afternoon, this guy, what's his name? Davis. Yeah. I think it's Davis Michelson is going to be hosting the afternoon show. And every mm-hmm. afternoon, going to talk with Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor, and senior market analyst Jeff Wilson.
That's right.
Jeff is running the western leg of the tour. Brian is running the eastern leg of the tour. And Davis is caught in the middle. And he's going to mm-hmm. be making sure that that everybody gets all the information that they need from the Crop
well,
Tour
yeah.
right now.
And that's it's important to point out because obviously we are obsessed with Crop Tour this week. But throughout the week, I do have some very special guests coming up in the fourth segment.
Right.
That will help us get our heads around the markets. We'll still have Kerry Artex, Artec Attack this afternoon. And, of course, I will update you on Friday with
nice.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report.
Yes, excellent. Sir. Excellent. All right. Before we get to Michael, let's go ahead and get to the news. What do you got?
Well, Chip, scattered showers are likely for northern areas of the Midwest this week, but chances for precip are limited for the heart of the Corn Belt as well as the Great Plains this week, according to World Weather Inc. We'll see what Michael Clark has to say about that. There are some thoughts that crop stress is rising in already dry areas like Iowa and surrounding areas, as well as from the Delta into the Tennessee River Basin. We're also obsessed with weather at this point, Chip.
Oh, absolutely, and that's going to be the big story for this crop as we try to put the finishing touches on it, whether or not it is going to get the conditions that it needs to build what is expected to be a pretty good yield.
The state of Iowa is seeking about $4 billion in disaster relief after a storm-packing hurricane-force winds tore across the Midwest last Monday. Oh. That's according to Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. The storm affected 58,000 holders of crop insurance policies.
Unbelievable.
Chip. Let's see. The early Sunday evening, Governor Reynolds announced she filed an expedited request for a presidential major disaster declaration. A news release indicated nearly 8,300 homes in the state were damaged or destroyed by the derecho. A week later, Chip, some still without power.
Right. And that's going to continue for a little while. Listen, we drove up 63 on the way home from Ames on mm-hmm. Saturday. And when you get north of Toledo and you go by about a mile of snapped off telephone or power poles, it's crazy, man. It is absolutely ridiculous what it looks like in some of those areas. I got word last night that some farmers are starting to bring the disc out.
Oh no!
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, some of these fields are going to get turned black. There is no question about that. And the damage, it is absolutely unbelievable how much damage there is done to that corn crop right through the middle of the state. It's you know, the drive from Ames to Marshalltown. I was told. Listen. When you make that drive, it's not as bad. It's not too bad on that drive from Ames to Marshalltown. My son Thomas was telling me this. All right?
Right.
And then he said, but once you get past Marshalltown, look out. You know, heading east, look out. That's where the damage really kicks in. I'm driving from Ames to Marshalltown and thinking, oh, my gosh, if this isn't too bad, I can't believe, you know, what's it going to be like? Because there's corn, there's damaged corn everywhere, man. It is absolutely unbelievable, the amount of damage. It's heartbreaking.
Well, let me highlight this real quick. We've got Jeff Cooper in the final segment, but the Trump administration says it is likely to wait until after Election Day to make final decisions on ethanol mandate waivers relative to the renewable fuel standard. If so, lobbyists again will be frustrated, and the focus will be on whether the punt will impact the election outcome for Trump or even for Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, Chip.
Right. Yeah, we've been talking about that for a couple of weeks already, that if we don't get some sort of a reaction, some sort of a decision out of EPA on these gap year waivers before the elections, is that going to reflect poorly on Senator Ernst as she's trying to win re-election in the state? She's in a tough fight against Teresa Greenfield. So it could have a negative impact on Joni Ernst. I don't think there's any question about that.
Okay. Well, here's something interesting. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What else you got in the news?
Well, I've got the U.S. Federal Reserve's stimulus is thought to risk plunging the world into financial crisis. That's according to the chairman of China's banking watchdog, also warned that bad debts at Chinese financial institutions could balloon significantly this year due to the impact of COVID-19. All right, fine, whatever. Meanwhile,
That's on his wish list. We should point that out.
Well, in the reality list, Russia and China are partnering to reduce their dependence on the dollar, a development some say could lead to a financial alliance between the two. In the first quarter of 2020, Chip, the dollar's share of trade between Russia and China fell below 50% for the first time on record.
Crazy.
I don't like the sound of that.
No, not at all. Hey, get this. I got to give you a real quick report on the Governor Steer show that happened on Saturday. I did not win. I did not place. I did not show. Okay. Well, actually, I did show, but I just wasn't in the running. It was a fantastic day. Wagner family from Hampton, Iowa, unbelievable how much effort they put into it. The steer looked great. The steer showed awesome. I had so much fun. Most importantly, we topped the sale. We topped the sale, Davis. $27,000 is what that steer brought. And get this, the steer was the steer that put the Governor's Charity Steer Show over $4 million in total funds raised for the Ronald McDonald House. It was awesome!
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
The 2020 Pro Farmer Crop Tour is brought to you by Pioneer. For the best agronomic advice for your farm, count on your local Pioneer team for year-round advice. Pioneer, an American seed brand since 1926.
All right, Davis, you know what I'm doing right now?
Let's see. Twiddling your thumbs, thinking about what you're going to say next.
No.
You're asking me to kill some time while you do that.
I am texting a picture of Marbles and me and Reeve to 31313. I just texted it with the hashtag farm on.
So I was right, though. There were thumbs involved, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That's weird. 31313, you're saying. You text to 31313.
That's right. Picture of your 4-H youth, your FFA youth with their project. Doesn't have to be a steer. Doesn't have to be an animal. All right? It could be woodworking. It could be anything that the kids, that the youth are involved in 4-H. Yes. And but send that picture to 31313 with the hashtag farm on. And it's going to be part of the benefit concert then on the 27th that that Farm Journal is doing for 4-H.
Gussy up if you want to. Get that 4-H t-shirt on and let's have a big smile.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Send us a picture. 31313. I got that right?
You can't see my smile in the picture that I just texted in. You know, because we were all masked up for the Governor's Steer Show there. But You know, hey, if you wanted to play, you gotta wear the mask, and that's how it
is,
you know.
That's
how it is. Yeah. Yep. It was all good. It was all fun. All a lot of fun. You know, one thing that I haven't mentioned about that Governor Steer Show is just shout out to the Iowa Cattlemen. They do Iowa Cattlemen's Association. They do a heck of a job in making that show happen, facilitating. Okay. And then it's normally at the Iowa State Fair. Obviously this year it wasn't there. So big shout out to Iowa State University and, Dr. Dan Thompson, who was on the show just last week. He was there to help with the show and to make sure that the facilities were up and running and available to Iowa cattlemen and to the show. So raised over $250,000 on Saturday from that show.
Right.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Fantastic.
Good deal.
Okay, let's bring him on. We've got Greg Peterson on the line with us right now. Machinery Pete, how you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chip. How about you?
Doing just fine, just fine. Everything's good, man. Let's get to it. What do you got for the... pick of the week?
Oh, man, we had sparks flying Friday and Saturday all across the country, Chip. Some just incredible equipment. For the pick of the week, I had to go with the International 1066 that sold Friday out in Hartington, Nebraska.
Yeah.
People probably saw the blog I posted, but all-time record high auction price. The setup on it, it was showing 794 hours. It was second owner, black stripe. This was a sale by our friends at, I think, Creamer, Himes, and Jansen Auctioneers, CHJ. They do an awesome job. But the hammer price was $45,000. Tack on another $1,000 for the online premium. $46,000 on this 1066.
Unbelievable.
Previous high I'd seen the last 20-some years was 27,000 chips. So it was kind of a one of a kind shot, but people were really buzzing about that 1066 Friday in Nebraska.
Well, yeah, obviously, and you said it's a black stripe, right?
Yeah, I couldn't match the serial number to a 76, but I'm guessing it must have been. And I heard from people on the ground on the Facebook thread we had going that there were collectors from all over. Yeah, and it had a number of international tractors that were very low houred. It was an estate sale. I think it was Kenneth and Christopher Aarons. But, yeah, if you loved red tractors, that was the place to be, either in Hartington Friday or online watching this thing, because it was incredible.
Very cool. Very cool. That's outstanding. What else happened at that one?
Well, there was an 856. I mean, I feel bad not super highlighting the thing. I mean, it's the second highest one I've ever seen sold. For the 69 model, only 2,550 hours, got overshadowed by the 1066, but actually sold for $19,750.
Wow.
That's the second highest 856 I've ever seen. And it really is it's the highest, because the one higher was kind of an unusual, an LP high clearance rig that was, I think, restored, sold on Meekums last fall, $30,450. But it's just a straight 856. $19,500 Friday was hot. Now, they did have a little green. They had a 4020 1970, 4020 diesel, synchro, Under 2,000 actual hours was the word on it, and it brought $20,600. So obviously, very strong there for not a power shift.
Jeez.
And then they had a, if you love Magnums, they had an 89 Case H 7140 mechanical front, 2,642 hours, did really well at 56.5. So
wow,
it's quite a sale Friday out there in Hardington.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Wow. Okay. Let's go over to Illinois. What do you got over there?
Yeah, it's just a run-on sentence here, Chip, of nice quality older equipment just ringing the bell. So Saturday, down in southwest Illinois, Reichman Auction had an absolute sale for, I think it was a, kind of some local farmers retiring and estates kind of put together on one sale. And they had a combine that people were telling me about for a week, and it really did well. A 2010 John Deere 9770 STS, 820 engine hours.
Jeez.
On the sale listing, it said, nicest in Illinois.
Okay.
And I wrote a blog yesterday, and I was like, yep, that's truth in advertising there, because it sold for $181,000 for a 9-year, actually a 10-year-old 9770. That's the highest auction price on a 9770 in 22 months, second highest in 45 months. So it did really well there. It was a beautiful machine. Low hours,
wow.
Obviously, 820 engine hours.
Yeah, absolutely. That what was the price on that one again? I was making a note and I missed
181,000.
Jeepers, crazy.
And we had just seen a sharp 9770 that Schrader Real Estate and Auction in Michigan sold like earlier in the week that did really well, like 145 or 146, I think.
Okay.
But 181. And that was really, really hot bidding on that one.
No doubt. Okay, take us up to Minnesota.
Yeah, same day, a Saturday, my good friends at Mehring Auction, Matt and Kevin and Adam and Michelle, they had a sale in Faribault, awesome little town here, southeast Minnesota. Farm auction, they had a 92 John Deere 4560 mechanical front, 4,011 hours, just sharp-looking rig. That brought $63,000. And again, I check my auction price data, and that's the highest auction price on a 4560 in over 5 years. Mm-hmm. I had to go back to March 2nd of 15, sale in Berlin, Wisconsin. We saw one with only 2,400 hours go for 68. So again, Saturday with 4,000 hours, 63 in Faribault,
right.
Pretty darn strong.
Yeah. Hey, I was driving up Highway 63 on Saturday. And on the west side of the road, there's like a million bushel of grain storage that has been destroyed. And across the road at Van Wall's is the old used combine shed. You know, it's open to the west. And it doesn't look like it lost a screw. It doesn't look like it lost any steel at all. And that thing is open to the west. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. So it crazy. What's going on at Van Wall?
Yeah, Van Wall, a week from tomorrow, folks, August 25th, Tuesday. Van Wall, of course, great dealer throughout Iowa there. They have their absolute online dealer auction with Sullivan Auctioneers. So just check out SullivanAuctioneers.com. We'll be on ProxyBid as well.
Okay.
Three track tractors on the sale, a bunch of 17 combines. Again, it's absolute, so... some really nice equipment from a great dealer there, Tuesday, August 25th, online dealer auction.
All right. Very cool. And we got, we're talking about Denver, Iowa. Romaine Schwer. What's Romaine got going?
My buddy Romaine, he listed a combine for sale on our website, which, of course, folks, you can do that. There's a little sell mine link you can click on. Now, Romaine has about the sharpest equipment of anybody that I've seen. And he's got an 07 9760 STS combine, 1,430 separator hours on it there in Denver. So we did a little shout out on that the other day, and it, you know, again, sparks were flying. People really interested in it. He's got it priced to go, so it's a beautiful machine.
You know, I may have been in the field with that combine a time or two.
Okay. So it's got the Chip Flory stamp of approval and machine repeat. There you go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, man. What else you got going this week? Anything real quick?
Hey, we're going to stay in Denver, Iowa, right by you, Chip, on
okay.
Wednesday. Right before I hopped on AgriTalk here, I posted a preview video. Sullivan Auctioneers has a farm retirement online auction Wednesday. the 19th for Scott and Julie Bus in Denver. Some really sharp equipment, so check that out, folks. Good stuff.
All right, good stuff. Thank you so much, Greg. We'll talk to you later, buddy. All right.
The 2020 Pro Farmer Crop Tour is brought to you by Pivot Bio Proven. Predictable, productive, weatherproof. Get a reliable partner. Get the new nitrogen. Get Pivot Bio Proven.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is me. I'm going to be talking about what's going on in the markets. We've got some solid gains going on in corn and in soybeans. We've got that November soybean contract up 13.5 cents right now. Gapped higher, opened on session lows. It gapped higher, and we are currently trading near session highs or at session highs in those soybean contracts. So it's a very strong price performance that we're seeing in that soybean market. Corn is anywhere from, call it 4.75 to 6 cents higher. The reason for the strength in the market, I think what we're looking at is kind of a delayed reaction to the storm from last week in Iowa. The damage assessments are coming in. We're starting to get a better handle on just how much corn was lost in that storm last Monday, a week ago today. And remember the initial estimate last week came from Arlen Suderman and Stone X, said losses anywhere from 200 to 400 million bushels of corn in Iowa. The attitude was that, oh, come on, how can you even put that kind of an estimate on it at this point? Well, it's looking like a pretty good estimate at this point with about 5.5 million acres of corn in Iowa alone impacted by that storm. In the livestock trade, we've got some main live cattle futures. Feeder cattle futures are mixed this morning. September feeders are off 30 cents. And you get out to the November contract and they're up 45 cents. And we've got some follow-through buying going on in the hog market after that market closed higher. We've got that market mostly steady to 65 cents higher. That's Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by Smart Nutrition MAP plus MST. Learn how to boost your soil's performance and maximize ROI with Smart Nutrition MAP plus MST at smartnutritionmst.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis Michelson is back in the studio in Sparkle City. Oh, that's right. He's got the singers with him today. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
They're all here.
Good deal.
They're very excited.
Lay some stuff down. You know, isn't that how they used to talk about, you know, in the music biz?
We'll lay down some tracks.
There you go.
Lay down some tracks.
There it is. That's what I'm looking for.
Some tracking.
Let's get our first taste of the 2020 Pro Farmer Crop Tour. I'm going to start right here. Emily Carlin,
sitting
across the desk from me here at the studio in South Bend. Emily, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. This is tour number 8, 9 for me.
Nine.
And it looks a little different. We are in
does it feel a little different?
It does. I don't know why, but this room is so cold. And we were talking about it before. This might be the best looking forecast that we've had on Crop
Tour. It's unbelievable.
But I think it's because we're in studio.
I think
it's because we're not out in the fields, actually.
Right.
We're not bringing in all of that rain that normally does come through.
Exactly.
So.
Sunshine and 80 degrees this week is what it looks like across most of the Corn Belt.
It's perfect. The Scouts deserve it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That's right. And speaking of Scouts, let's bring in a couple of Master Scouts. Jay Merriman out of Iowa. Jay, how you doing this morning, buddy?
Good, Chip. I've heard of a lot of excuses to stay away from tour, but this might take the cake to keep you home for this.
That's right. Yep. You know, this whole virus thing, that's what it's all about. we've also got Marty Tegmeyer out of Northeast Iowa. How you doing, Marty?
Good. We're doing great here this morning, Chip.
Good. So you guys are out on the western leg of the tour. You're traveling together, and this is kind of a different way of doing the tour. Normally, every day. We would have four people per vehicle. We'd mix people up every day, try to make it so that you didn't ride with the same person twice during the course of the week. That gave everybody an opportunity to get to know as many people as they could. But for the week, you guys are going to be a team, right, Jay?
You better. That's what it says on the sheet anyhow.
Yep. So, Jay, you've been on tour now since 1995?
Back in the 90s sometime there, yep.
Yeah. You keep coming back. Why?
Oh, Chip, I think you probably hit it on the head. Some of it's the people you meet on the tour. I made a lot of acquaintances and friendships on the tour over the years. And, yes, we're out here to look at crops. There's no question about it. But, it's a lot the people, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The information that you do collect when we're out on the road, you guys are up in South Dakota, or did you guys skip forward to Nebraska this morning?
We are sitting in Vermilion, South Dakota, just ready to cross over into Nebraska. We're done with South Dakota. We got six samples out of South Dakota.
Okay, what are you guys seeing?
Well, I'm grabbing the corn. I don't... We've got a high of 200, a low of 102, our last sample, with some bottom ground that was pretty dry down in there. But 160 to 200 if you throw that 102 out,
okay,
Jeff, from that standpoint. Beans haven't been really too classy. I'm doing the beans, and, of course, we're counting pods. Let's see, we've got 12, 16 for a high. We've got 6, 14, and a 3x3 for a low. I'm calling them 40 to 55 bushel beans.
Okay,
is what I would call them. Here.
Okay, well, those the corn numbers that you were talking about though are pretty doggone sexy, aren't they, Marty? I mean, that's pretty darn good for South Dakota.
Yeah, it looks really good, and everything we've been in so far has been nice and green and healthy, and you can always tell by the road ditches are nice and green and.
Yep.
And the cows are happy.
That's right. If the grass is green and the cows are fat, then the corn crop is probably going to be okay in South Dakota. Hey, Marty, one of the reasons that I always look forward to talking to you leading up to Crop Tour, and it's one of the big reasons that you were named a Master Scout, was because of all the prep work that you do, the thought process that you have going into Crop Tour. Because you're always going out there looking for something. What is it that you're looking for this year?
Oh, I don't know. Probably more like anything. Just to see how are the stands and stuff are getting better than what they used to be. And, everything's a little more consistent out in the field.
Yeah.
And at least for the corn, anyway. I guess I haven't been in the beans. But just looking to see and how the weeds and stuff are getting better taken care of year after year. It's always nice to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, what is the situation on the bean fields this year? You go through that part of the world, southeast South Dakota and into northeast Nebraska. It wasn't that long ago that I was giving them a pretty tough time saying, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what you got to do, and you got to get those weeds under control. Is things looking pretty good?
Yeah, things are looking very good. Like Jay and I were talking, good. There's a couple spots you can see where they were counted out last year, but boy, they got a hold of stuff this year, and it's under control this year.
Very good, very good. All right, Jay. So what are you looking for the most out there this year?
Well, I think the major feature of the tour is going to be trying to get our arms around. Yeah. Iowa, Illinois, damage that was done by the wind. It's serious down there. And, I think every year you're trying to isolate, an area that and is it better or is it worse than you thought it was going into it? Now, one thing we don't want to lose sight of, too, Chip, we talk about wind being such a huge factor. We still got a lot of Iowa that's got some kind of drought in it.
Right.
And we're not talking about that because we're so, frustrated with the wind situation. But coming up here yesterday over in the Audubon, from Audubon over to the Mississippi River, or excuse me, Missouri River,
right.
I was surprised, and you know, I don't live that far away from it, but it just kept getting drier and drier and drier the closer to the Missouri River I got there, and very evident in the beans out there at this stage of the game.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You know, I mentioned Arlen Suderman and his estimate that he made last week, looking at the wind damage in Iowa, saying that we could have lost 200 to 400 million bushels of corn last week to that wind. Marty, I think one of the reasons that people kind of downplayed that a little bit was because they were thinking, hey, we've already lost more than that to the drought in Iowa. And it's been kind of a sneaky son of a gun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even like my own stuff. I mean, I'm in Northeast Iowa. You know, stuff looks good, but you know what? It's the top end is gone. I mean, there's still good stuff, but you know what? The sand spots are starting to get big.
Yep. Well, yeah, but our yard has gone dormant in Northeast Iowa. You go back a month ago, Marty. I never would have thought that, and then all of a sudden, we just kept getting missed and kept getting missed and kept getting missed. And here we are with the crop that's showing some stress that, boy, I never would have thought it a month ago.
Jeff, I always got a comment. This has been kind of a stealth drought.
Yeah.
We had adequate moisture, water in the subsoil going into it.
Yep.
We had a crop that got head high, you know, looked great. We've never really gone through a drought like this late. You know, I mean,
right.
I go back to 77 and 83 and 88. You know, I mean, hell, we couldn't even hardly get to tasseling in those years. We got to where the crop, you know, quite obviously went through pollination fine.
Yep.
And you drive down the road 60 mile an hour and you say, oh, this corn looks okay. You know, it's not a little bit of fire at the bottom or whatever, but you talk to the guys that have stuck their nose deep into it, and it's not a disaster by any means, but I do think that in Central Iowa we've probably taken somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15%. Yeah. just in dryness alone.
Yep, I think that's probably right. I think you're probably right. You guys travel safe, be good out there, and we'll talk with you again later this week. Okay.
Good to talk to you, Chip.
All right. That's Jay Merriman and Marty Tegmeyer out there on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Okay, Emily, they are making their way today from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, down to Grand Island. Tomorrow they'll go from Grand Island to Nebraska City and then Nebraska City up to Spencer and then over to Rochester to meet up with the guys from the Eastern Leg. Where are they going today?
The Eastern Leg, they are going from Ohio into Indiana, so they spend about a half a day in Ohio. They normally cover, oh goodness, it's probably 120 samples or so is what the normal is, and we're expecting some of those sample counts to be down just a little bit, just because of the lack of scouts. I mean, we have some really experienced scouts out there and also some new ones that are farmers, so they know how to get in and they know how to evaluate a crop, but we have normally about 120, and we're somewhere around 70, 75 this year.
Right.
So we're down a little bit there. But so we're moving from Ohio into Indiana today, Indiana into Illinois tomorrow, Illinois into Eastern Iowa on Wednesday.
Right.
And then Thursday, they will meet up with the Western side up in Rochester, Minnesota.
Exactly. And we're going to, part of the reason that Davis is going to be hosting the afternoon shows is to talk with Brian Grady and with Jeff Wilson about what they're seeing out there on the road, and we'll get some perspective, some market perspective in there as well. But I'm going to be helping you with the data, and we're going to do our best to bring in as much information as we possibly can. All right, we've got to go. When we come back, Jeff Cooper.
The 2020 Pro Farmer Crop Tour is brought to you by Pioneer. For the best agronomic advice for your farm, count on your local Pioneer team for year-round advice. Pioneer, an American seed brand since 1926. America's conservation ag movement would like to recognize the Nature Conservancy for its efforts to help farmers build healthier soils and a more resilient agriculture system. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
When the
picked you up for a first date, baby. Welcome back to Agri Talk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. And
hey-o.
President Trump is making his way back to the Midwest today, Davis.
That's what I hear.
Yes. Yeah, he's going to be up in Mankato and talking about some ethanol issues. Now, let's get Jeff Cooper on here right now. Jeff is president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Doing good, Chip. How are you?
Good, good, good. Okay, so President Trump's going to be up in Minnesota. Let's start with those gap year waiver requests. It's been an interesting conversation. Last week we had a conversation with USDA Secretary Perdue. We also had a conversation with former Secretary Tom Vilsack. We asked them the question about these gap year waivers. We got the same answer. They're illegal. They shouldn't happen. And yet, there's uncertainty over this, Jeff. It just seems weird.
Well, it is weird. And we think the EPA and the White House should put a quick end to this nonsense and just reject these so-called gap year waivers. Out of hand, throw them in the trash can and let's get on with it. There's 57 of these pending requests sitting at EPA. And so we're hopeful that when the president arrives in Mankato here in a little more than an hour, Mankato, of course, is in the heart of ethanol and corn country. And we're hoping that this will be an opportunity for the president to talk to some local farmers and ethanol producers about these issues. He needs to have a better understanding of how his EPA
How can that be? And I agree with you, Jeff. He does have to have a better understanding of what is going on, but he has heard the message from you. He's heard the message from farmers. He's heard the message from the ethanol industry time and time again. But the inaction that we are seeing from the White House is unbelievably frustrating.
It is, and it isn't just these gap year waivers that we're waiting on a decision on. We still haven't seen, Chip, as you know, the 2021 proposal for next year's RFS levels.
Right.
Typically, we've seen that proposal for a few months now. EPA has a legal deadline to have that finalized by November 30th. They've come out and told us EPA has. Hey, we're going to miss that deadline this year. That rule isn't going to get done. So, our industry and the communities that Mr. Trump is visiting today depend on EPA getting its work done. And we need that certainty. We need that predictability. And we're not getting it on the RFS, but on other issues as well.
Right. Jeff, is it an election issue?
Well, I think that's why these sorts of whistle stop trips that Mr. Trump is taking, and we know we're going to see a lot more of these in the next few months. We think it's very important that people affected by inaction and indecision at EPA and within the administration, sound off and have the opportunity to share their concerns with the president. We don't get many chances to speak directly to the president. We're getting two today. Not only is he visiting Mankato, he's supposed to be in Oshkosh, Wisconsin later in the day. And that's, we've got a member ethanol plant, 10 minutes away from where he's going to be there as well. So these are opportunities we need to get our points across.
Yeah, Badger, right?
Fox River Valley Ethanol is the one. Yep. It's about 10 minutes away from the airport there in Oshkosh.
Right. That's right. Yeah, his timing is pretty impressive, isn't it? I mean, he's heading over to Wisconsin as the Democrats open up their national convention.
That's right.
Which
was supposed to be in Milwaukee.
Right.
So, I mean, it's certainly a calculated move, I think, for the president to show that, hey, while the DNC may not be happening in person, I'm not afraid to get out and see the people and see the voters.
Right.
And that's good, but hopefully he takes this opportunity to really speak with local farmers and ethanol producers and understand their concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could plant a question with a farmer, to ask the president today. What might that question be?
Well, I think the question, Chip, would be, you know, look, almost a year ago, it was last September when President Trump sat down with Senators Ernst and Grassley and and Blunt and Thune and a couple others, and they came to this agreement that, hey, we've got to fix the RFS. We've got to get this thing back on track. We got to stop granting all these exemptions. We got to get E15 moving. You know, we had this sort of grand bargain. That's been almost a year ago, and we're still waiting for those commitments that were made to be honored. And so I think the question is really pretty simple. You know, Mr. President, when will the administration make good on these promises that were made a year ago in the Oval Office to senators from states here in the Midwest?
Yeah. It seems, you know, Secretary Perdue was the one last week on the show that mentioned you can't imagine that EPA would be willing to be held in contempt of court and go against the ruling of the 10th Circuit out in Denver. But, you know, weirder things have happened, Jeff. We just need to keep the pressure on and make sure that everybody is asking the right questions and sending the right message and getting this thing done, right?
That's absolutely right, Chip. And it isn't just that January 10th Circuit court decision. We're still waiting on EPA to comply with a court order from 3 years ago that would restore some lost RFS blending requirements. So it's time for EPA to get on the ball and implement the law. And that's a point that we're hoping is conveyed to President Trump today.
Gotcha. Stay on it, Jeff. I know you will. Thank you so much, man.
All right. Thank you, Chip. I appreciate it.
That is Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. All right, Davis, the scouts are out and hitting it, man. We're looking at the data coming in here at the office. Don't forget, everybody, you can attend the meeting tonight. You can hear the official results from the crop tour for Ohio and South Dakota tonight. All you got to do is go to profarmer.com, look at that red banner at the top of the page, click on that, and it'll take you to the registration. You got it this afternoon, bud. You ready to go?
Oh, I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Davis, Jeff, and Brian this afternoon on AgriTalk.